Blog Talk Radio.
Truly be Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am glad you have joined us tonight. It is January the 19th, year of our Lord 2021, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. This is the first Bible study of a brand new year. We're thanking God for all that he has blessed us with in the past year, and we're looking forward to the blessings that he will bestow upon us in 2021. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Our doors hang on welcome hinges. That means that you're always welcome when this pandemic is over and we're able to go back into the house of God. We invite you to come and be a part of the rich religious experience of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We are now worshiping through our Facebook page. You can find that page that you are looking at right now. Those of you who are on the internet, go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. Go there. You will find all the pertinent information concerning First Baptist. You'll find all of our Bible studies. You'll find the link for those who would like to listen on the internet. You'll also find the call-in number for those who would like to call in and participate in the Bible study. That call-in number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can speak to us directly in the studio. You can be a part of the Bible study tonight. So we ask you that you go to our Facebook page, because when you go there, you will find the link for all the Bible studies. You'll find the sermons that we have preached every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We go live on Facebook Live. And so we invite you to come to our Facebook page. Go there, and there you will find all the information that you need to find out about First Baptist of Holly Springs. There are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can give by way of mail. You can mail your contributions into the church or your tithes into the church. You can go to the Facebook page and you'll find the correct mailing address. Then, of course, each Sunday between the hour of 11 and 12, trustee is there to make sure that you your financial needs are taken care of. Then also we have a Cash App. You can use the Cash App. That Cash App starts with the dollar sign, FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. We wanted to make it available for anyone who didn't want to come out or who didn't want to do anything as far as this contact, as far as this virus is concerned. So we developed a Cash App for those of you who would like to do so by Cash App. You can be a supporter of First Baptist of Holly Springs tonight by using the Cash App. And of course, you can mail your contributions into the church. And then on Sunday between the hour of 11 and 12, you can stop by and leave your contributions or tithes at the church. As I said before, this is the first Bible study of a brand new year, and we're looking forward to some great Bible studies and discussions. Sometimes we have Bible studies, sometimes, and that Bible study takes on the scriptorial concept of breaking down each scripture to see what thus saith the Lord. And then sometimes on our Bible study, we have a topical discussion. We bring up a discussion that is relevant to today and the things that are happening in the house of God and the church world in the diaspora. And so we decide sometimes to have various topics that we talk about. So stay tuned with us during the course of the year. We will be talking about topical things that are going on in the world, and we'll also be studying the scripture as we go along in our Bible study during the course of the year. We hope that you will be a part of the Bible study, that you will tell someone about Bible study every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio with First Baptist of Holly Springs. Before we start our Bible study tonight, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for a brand new year. We thank you for a new year of Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the line tonight, those who are listening over the internet. We pray, God, that something be said tonight, Father, that will encourage your people to keep on giving you the praise and encourage their hearts to give you the glory in their lives today. Father, we know there are times and things in this life that cause us to stumble and fall. But Father, we know that you're there every step of the way to pick us up and to carry us along this life journey. So we ask now, God, that you will bless this Bible study. Bless all who will hear this Bible study and all who will participate in this Bible study. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. There will be those who will hear this Bible study long after it is over. I have received several personal emails from people who have heard Bible studies that we did earlier last year. They're just getting to the Facebook page. And so we know that because of that, there will be people who will hear Bible studies long after they're over. And these Bible studies are all archived. You can always go back and hear a Bible study whenever you want to. You can go to our Facebook page. You can find the Bible study event. Click on that event. It will take you to a blue-looking link. You click on that link, that blue-looking link, and it will take you directly to the Bible study. You can't call in, but you can hear the pre-recorded Bible study as it was recorded during that time. All right. Tonight, our scripture comes from the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter. I'll pause while you get that. Genesis, the 11th chapter. Genesis, the 11th chapter. The story of the Tower of Babel. I want to talk about that tonight. Then I want to talk about, if we have the time, what we saw take place on the 6th of this month at the Capitol. But anyway, let's start our lesson. Building in the ancient world was constructed using bricks made of clay or clay-like mixture of mud and straw. Scholars suggested there were likely two ways of making bricks. One way, and the easiest way, was to pack bricks into a mold and let it dry in the sun. This is the way the Hebrews probably used the method in Egypt and later on in the Promised Land. But the Babylonians had a better method, and their method was more advanced. They used kilns to harden their bricks. So the brick would be placed into the hardened or the high flame or the high heat. This made the brick more durable, more stronger, larger, and flatter. And these bricks were able to support great weight. The place or the region that we're going to talk about tonight was originally called Shinar. It means country of two rivers. As it was a tract of land between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, it is reported that Shinar was a plain country where brick was used for stone and slime for mortar. The country was later called Chaldea, then later called Babel, and then later called Babylon. The Tower of Babel only mentioned once in the Bible. This tower was built of brick and slime. It is reported that it had the shape of a pyramid and was built in seven receding stages. The first, second, and third stage were 25 feet high, and the other four stages were 16 feet high. Scholars assert that there may have been a 16-foot arc that covered the whole part of the seventh floor, which brought the entire structure some 200 feet high, which is taller than anything that had ever been built in the earth at that time. Genesis 9 closes on the curtain of Noah's life, letting us know that Noah lived 350 years after the flood. One may be tempted to skip over Genesis 10th chapter, as it appears to be a long genealogical account of names and places. But I caution you to go back and read Genesis 10, because Genesis 10 sets the stage for the rest of the book's chapters. It shows us how God replenished the earth, tells us who the main characters are, and the roles that they played. And it also tells us of God's unfolding plan for all people of the world. In this particular lesson, we see how God carried the gospel to all the world by scattering a bold group of people. What place this must have been after the flood? It was a place of unison with one language. One would think it would be easy to care for and love one another. Perhaps the place where the people lived grew to be too small for them, so they agreed to split up. The text records that some journeyed from the east and found a tract of land in a country called Shinar, or later called Babel. With the Tigris and the Euphrates River flowing through it, there was much clay and slime for building. In Babel, the country's capital, the people used brick to build up the city so that it became a great place of wealth. Its city walls were thick, and some of the private homes had as many as 26 rooms and several courtyards. Babel is noted for its development of medicine, methodology, linguistics, mathematics, and astrology. No wonder they thought they could build a tower to heaven. Now, this place, Babel, was not like the place Babylon that you read about in the Bible later on. It is the progenitor of Babylon. This is long before Babylon had been established as a great nation. It was just a little outpost or a little town called Babel. And there, the people built a city in that town. And that city became a great place for people to live. And not only that, it was one of the biggest cities on the earth at that time. We must understand that Babylon was slightly different during the time of construction, as opposed to the Babylon we know today, or the Babylon that we knew about centuries later. But even then, it was a city of depravity. It was a city of ruin. No wonder the Bible talks so badly about Babylon when we get to the book of Revelations and we go further on in the Bible. Babylon consistently appears in the Bible's narrative. First, when mankind rebelled against God right after the flood, which is where we are now. And then God told the humanity to spread throughout the earth, and they stayed in one place in defiance. Not only was Babylon in the Bible then, but Babylon is also in the Bible when it sacked Jerusalem in the 6th century B.C. And then, of course, we read about Babylon again in the book of Revelation. So Babylon seems to be synonymous with those who disbelieve God or want to rebel against God. It seems that Babylon, from its very root, was a place of depravity. From its very root, it was a place that people did not want to acknowledge God or want to give God the glory, much less give him the respect to lead them. So in that first verse, it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Verse 2, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." The first verse is the key background statement setting up the contrasting and coming events. Unfortunately, there is no way for us to know what language they all spoke, since that was so long ago. But whatever it was a universal language. They all spoke that same language. And scholars agree that that ancient language and that ancient land of Babylon, also known as Chaldea, is also in the southern part of Mesopotamia near that Euphrates River. Some think it's significant that the author of Genesis noted an eastward movement. In that book of Genesis, you'll talk about an eastern movement, which they see as a similarity to things that happened before. If you remember, Adam and Eve, when they left the garden, they were placed of the garden. And then later on in the book of Genesis, we read about Cain. After he killed Abel, after Cain came, he moved east of Eden after killing Abel. So it seems as if there was an eastern movement and that people continued to move east. But there was also those who went south as well. So there were people who were moving east and south at the same time. Now, these people that moved east are the people who we're talking about tonight. In verse 3, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. This tells us that they were using a more modern approach to brick making than ever before. They were using the kilns. They were burning the bricks to make them hard, to make them stronger. And then verse 4 says, and they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, you got to remember, beloved, God's instruction was to be fruitful, multiply, and to cover the earth. So their whole concept of staying in one place was contrary to God's order. That's the first thing. We got to remember as well that it was Nimrod. It was Nimrod who wanted to build this great city. And there's nothing wrong with building the city. There was nothing wrong with people moving forward. It was the connotation that was in their hearts. Josephus, the historian, writes and he points out that one of the main reasons that Nimrod ordered the construction of the Tower of Babel was to create a structure tall enough to withstand another worldwide flood, like the one that was in Genesis 6. Nimrod appeared to have forgotten the purpose of the flood in the first place. God sent a worldwide flood because of the earth's vast wickedness and depravity. As the leaders of the kingdom of Babel, Nimrod is also connected with the Tower of Babel, according to the historian Josephus. Nimrod said he wanted to revenge on God if he should have a mind to drown the world again, but that he would build a tower too high for the waters to reach, and that he would avenge himself on God for destroying his forefathers. This is written in Josephus' Book of Antiquities of the Jews, Book 1, Chapter 4. The motive regarding to Josephus for building the Tower of Babel was to protect humanity against another flood. But the reason for the first flood was for mankind's wickedness and rebellion against God, from that humanity refused to repent. And Nimrod was a rebellious leader against God, just like his forefathers. He was a rebellious leader, and he persuaded his subjects to be rebellious. He persuaded them not to subscribe to God. He persuaded them that there was no meaning to God and that they were in charge of their own happiness. But to believe that there were their own courage, own skills, they could do anything that they wanted to do. So construction of a Tower of Babel was only something to show the greatness of their people and how they had grown over the years. They wanted to show God that even if he would send another flood, it would not drown them out because they had built a tower higher than the water. Well, beloved, that was the main problem with this whole city, with this whole building, with this whole leadership and the whole mindset. The towers in Mesopotamia were built something like a pyramid, and they were, like I said, over 200 feet high, which was higher than anything that could ever be thought of back in those days. And making bricks and building a city, even building a tower, has never been evil nor uncommon practice. The problem was the offense to God was in the motivation and the purpose. The people wanted to, number one, reach the sky, and number two, become famous, and wanted to make a name for themselves, for they wanted to have everyone know who they were. See, it says there in verse 4, and they said, let us go, build us up a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered They were so entrenched on making themselves famous of this great tower. They did not realize that they were doing contrary to what God had told them to do in the very first place. That was to be fruitful, to multiply, and to subdue the earth. And you can't do that in one place. So in verse 5, it says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man built." Verse 6, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." Verse 7. Well, let's stop at verse 6. What God is saying here is that these people have advanced so much that they think that there's nothing that they can't do. And sometimes we are like that. Sometimes we can overcome so many things that we think that we can overcome anything. Sometimes we can overcome so many obstacles that are in our way. We think we can overcome anything without the help of God. And these people thought that since they had built their own cities, since they had made that travel, since they had built homes, since they had these lavish 25-room homes, they had these beautiful cities, they had this beautiful tower, there was nothing that they cannot do. Now, that's a problem when you use that as your religion or use that as the basis of your life. That's a problem. There's nothing wrong with being self-confident. There's nothing wrong with believing that you can do things. Nothing wrong with that. It's the attitude in which you go approach that. Approach it with the concept that, you know, if we can do this, we can do anything. I remember when man first went to the moon, we said, well, if man could go to the moon, man can do anything. Well, we did go to the moon, but man still can't do anything. So we got to remember a lot of times we celebrate the great achievements that we have made throughout history, throughout our lives. We have to realize that we only have done that through the help of Almighty God. And if we're going to go further, if there's going to be any more new achievements, if there's going to be something else that we achieve in this world, it will also be the help. By the help of Almighty God. Verse 7. Then God says something very interesting. He said, let us go down. Stop right there. Us who? Well, we're talking about the Trinity. There it is again. Us, God calling himself in the plural. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Why would God do that? As much or more as we can gain from studying God's reaction from the people's action, similar to God's judging the world harshly via this flood as because of their systematic evil, so it seems the events at hand represent a more serious heart of evil than the eye first can meet. The scholar William Lasseur writes, whether the descendants of Seth had become corrupt or something demonic had entered the world, the point is that a new level of evil had come into the world. Something evil outlived the flood. And because of that mindset, evil was now back in the world. Lasseur notes that just as cancer, doctors attack cancer in the body to make the body strong, so God attacks sin in the world to make the people strong. And this is what happened during the fall, also what happened during the flood, to push the restart button on humanity with Noah and his descendants. But it seems as if even after the flood, that evil still permeated in the world with these people at Baal. When observers of the first people died, they realized that this was a city that was going to be built that was going to last forever. And the city lasted for thousands and thousands of years. It was one of the oldest cities that was ever established on the earth. And there are times and places and ruins now where you can go over and you can see where the Tower of Babel was. You can't see the tower anymore. The tower is gone, but you can see the foundation of where the Tower of Babel was. This building was built to last forever. Other scholars have written that the fact that the people did not want to scatter would not have been such a terrible thing at first. Even today, families constantly lament the fact that they want to stay close together and they don't want to be spread out. The whole problem with this problem was that God had given the mandate for the first people of the earth to subdue the earth, to move from one place to another. As mankind subdued the earth, his era was to begin to subdue God, to humanitize God. In other words, the development of urbanized people began to envision their gods in human terms. In other words, they not only tried to bring their God down to earth, they also tried to make him into their own image. The sin here went beyond mere idolatry. It degraded the whole nature of God by portraying him as having human needs. And this is the mindset that they had. They wanted to humanize God. They wanted to bring God down to their level, or they wanted to reach God's level. And they wanted to be on the same level as God. And because of this mindset, this is the thing that made them want to build a tower. They got so grand in their movement. They got so grand in their development. They thought it was nothing that they could do and that they could even go beyond God. Thus, we must trust that God's response was appropriate for the level and for the extent of the willful, idolatrous ignorance of the people in their hearts. This will only lead to unmitigated disaster. God's judgment as a swift end to it. And this is what the people had to find out about God. They had to find out that even though they thought that they had everything that they needed, everything that they wanted, that God still was in control of the whole earth. So in verse 8, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Verse 9, therefore it is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from that did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Some commentators say that God scattered the people because his original plan was for mankind to spread over the earth, and they rebelled against the master plan. God filling the earth, however, was to be throughout reproduction, not simply forcing them to spread out, which would not increase the population. People scattered was the natural, inevitable result of them no longer being able to communicate. The name of the Tower of Babel meant confusion or mixing, and it is also the source of the word Babylon. So when you hear the word Babylon in the Bible, the progenitor to Babylon or the first buildings of Babylon go back to the city of Babel when it first started. God does not condemn building cities or towers, but he does condemn spiritual failure, thinking that our humanness can outdo God. We have to recognize him as the one eternal, sovereign, supreme God. Man's plans without God is to take matters into his own hands, to make himself his master of his own fate, will not work. But God has the future in his hands, and God holds the future in his hands. So what place this must have been after the flood? What place this must have been? Must have been a beautiful place. Must have been a place that they took great pride in. Place that they saw the power of their people and the oneness of their people. But God had to bring the people down. Who better than God knows the power of oneness and creating something from an image? When he saw the people operating under the same principle but with misguided motives, he had to intervene. He had to confuse their language so they could not understand each other. Then he scattered them to different parts of the earth. God is a righteous and omnipotent judge who thwarted the attempt of grandiosity, but he also saved them, for he could have destroyed them again. He simply scattered them across the earth. This is the type of thing that we must realize today, that no matter how important we think we are, no matter how many achievements we have made them through the help of Almighty God. This is the lesson for tonight, Tower of Babel. I want to open the lines at this time because there may be some who would like to speak to us tonight, who would like to comment on the lesson. And I also want to talk about the thing that you saw on television on January 6th, when there was a what they call an intrusion into the White House or to the Capitol. They went up into the Capitol. It was storming the castle. That's what it was. And the whole world watched as the Capitol steps and even got into the Capitol building, went into the House of Representatives, and did what they wanted to do. We have come to a point, beloved, in our lives, in this time that we're living in now, where we're just almost like the people of Babel. We think we can do anything. We think whatever we do is right. We have the manifest destiny to do whatever our will is instead of the will of God. I want to open the lines tonight. Maybe somebody wants to speak on the lesson or on what happened on January 6th. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits are 5257. Are you on the line?
Yes, Reverend Roger. This is Brother Jonah.
Good evening, Brother Jonah.
How you doing?
Doing great.
You know, the lesson is a good lesson because, you know, sometimes we have our own way. We're guilty. We are guilty just like the people of Babel at that time. We seek greatness, but we sometimes go about it in the wrong way. And in going about that greatness, sometimes we step on our loved ones. We step on people at the job. And we go through it. Sometimes we even destroy our marriages. And people actually, some people destroy themselves. So greatness is something that we can't gain for ourselves. It has to come from God. And when we realize that, then that's the kind of greatness we should be trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jonah. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 2699. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. This is Jan 7.
Good evening, Sister.
Good evening. The lesson was very good, and I'm just listening tonight. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Area code 919. Last four digits, 7459. 7459. I know whose number that is. Let's go to another number. 919-2329. Are you on the line? All right. Maybe not. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 2314. 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir. This is Miss Mangum. How
you doing? Doing great.
I'm good. I just have a little comment here. The lesson to me tonight, the Babel, is like they was lusting, you know, after more. You know, uh-huh. You know, we notice here how the human race, instead of managing to keep, you know, to its own boundaries and things, they were always longing for more and reaching out for greater things. And so that's a way it is today. Like, you know, they're always lusting after more, you know, more wealth and that status. Like say, you know, getting a name for themselves.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. They were interested in making a name for themselves. They want that status. Success had gone to their head. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Success went to their head. Error code 919,
right.
Last four digits, 5440. Are you on the line? 5440.
Good evening. This is Whitney Freeman.
Good evening.
And I agree with, I agree with Aunt Jean or Mrs. Mangum. And to add to that, I think a lot of us, as we grow and get more status, it's easy to lose humility, and I think it's easy to forget that we're not, our help comes from God. We're not doing things on our own, and I think when we get more success, sometimes we forget that.
Did you see what happened January 6th at the Capitol? Did you see that on TV? I'm sure you did. What do you think of that? What do you think of it?
I don't like to watch that stuff. I thought it was very sad. It was a group of people that lack self-control and compassion for other people. It was just evil, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much. Brother Jonah,
you're welcome.
When you saw what happened at the Capitol, what were you thinking?
Oh, that was unlawful, and it never should have happened under any circumstances, and it was wrong. But I would like to say this: in a society, laws are made to be obeyed, and in a society, we cannot pick and choose what laws we want to obey, because if we do, We're going down a path of failure, because you are going to have some type of problems in the future if we try to pick what laws to obey. Can't do that. But in regard to January 6th, nobody has said that was lawful. It was unlawful.
Yes, it is. I think we, as Ms. Mangum said, I think we are overstepping our bounds. We're living beyond our means of God, and we're starting to take matters into our own hands, just like the people of Babel did by building this this tower. I think what you saw in January the 6th was people trying to take matters into their own hands. They were trying to change the narrative. They were trying to change history. They were trying to change how God had already preceded things to go. God had already preceded that there'd be a peaceful transition of power. It had already been ordained to do that, but they didn't want that to happen. They wanted to take matters into their own hands. And so they challenged the status quo. They challenged the system. This is what the people of Babel did as well. They challenged the status quo. They knew that they were instructed to spread across the world. But they stayed there on purpose to defy God. They stayed there on purpose to defy all the things that have been taught to them, have been handed down from generation to generation. I'm sure that the word of God had been given to them by Noah, who was before the flood. And he introduced them to God all over again after the flood. But yet they chose, again, I use the word chose, they chose to take matters into their own hands. And whenever we do that, we find ourselves in a similar situation. Let's go to area code 919-2314. Did I speak to you earlier? Who was that?
Yeah, that was Ms. Mangum, 2314. That was me.
Ms. Mangum, let me ask you a question. Do you think that this is where different languages came from, the fact that God confounded their language and they all began to speak a different language, or do you think that's where different languages came from in the earth? Or the beginning of different languages?
I would think that would be the beginning of different languages. And I can't say for sure that that is where the different languages came from. But I would think that would be the beginning of those different languages.
I agree with you because... Go right ahead.
I agree. Sister Mangum, I agree that this was the beginning of the languages, because as you said earlier, God said, go forth and populate the earth. And I think this story occurred right after the flood, and that was the beginning of the generations. And when he told them to go forth and populate the earth, he used the language, the confusion in language, to get them to go to different parts of the earth and spread the word.
agree. Mm-hmm. I agree, because there is no mention of language before that in the Bible as far as languages, different languages are concerned. So evidently, this had to be the beginning of various different tongues or different languages in the earth, because this is the first mention of anything other than one language being spoke. So it has to be the beginning of different languages. Now, let me ask you another question, Sister Mangum. When we look at the Bible, when we look at the totality of what we see in the Bible, and we see the people of Babel, how do you relate that to the people that you see today as far as people who are just revolutionary, who just do not want to do what is right, who just have this mindset? Because in the lesson I talked about the fact that Josephus wrote that he don't know whether Seth's people were just demonic or what. He don't know what happened, but somehow or another, evil got through the flood. So what do you think about that?
I was trying to study this a little bit today, but now when I was reading it, saying that you could see this happening every day without others being any the wiser.
Okay.
No, from the sight of it. No, from what was happening.
So it could happen without us knowing it. Without even knowing it. Because evidently after the flood, you would think that after the flood was over, all the evil people were gone. There was no evil thoughts or no evil imagination. Man started basically from scratch, from all over again. We know evil came in through the snake during the garden. That's the original evil sin. But after that, after that flood, seemed like, you know, Noah people would have been free of that. But somehow or another, evil came through the flood. And the people of Seth descendants somehow or another got the mindset that they were going to move contrary to what God's will was. And that's an interesting point that I think we have to make. The evil is always present, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. You know, I don't care how many times you try to pray or try to, you know, move away from evil, evil will always be there. The only thing evil can't do is bother you if you are in Christ Jesus. But don't you ever think that evil will ever disappear. It will always be on the face of the earth. People are always going to do evil things. And this concept of us living together, holding hands and singing Kumbaya, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. Evil will always prevail, not prevail, but all evil will always be in the world. Good will prevail, but evil will always be in the world. I want to go back to area code 919-2329. Are you back on the line? First Lady, is that you? I see your number, 2329. Okay,
yes,
what do you think of the lesson? What do you think of the lesson tonight?
Oh, I'm just, I'm inspired by the lesson because I feel that what was going on then in Genesis is somewhat going on in the world today. And I heard you ask the question, but I wasn't able to answer. I heard you ask the question concerning the 6th of January. I sat in awe. At first, I didn't realize what it was until seeing people climb the wall, just so adamant about getting on the inside, don't have a clue what they were after, but to find out that the president of the United States had encouraged them to do this. I was afraid, shocked, but was afraid and wondered what would they do when they got in, and then some did get in, and some did had the other people that was on the inside afraid. I had seen this in movies, never seen it in person. I watch a lot of Hercules. I love Hercules. It's one of my movies.
Yeah.
And I
Same
saw
thing.
How
mm-hmm.
they scaled the wall to get inside the temple or the capitol. So I'm just, and then once I realized what was going on, I got angry because it, to me, it was
unfair. And again, how it got started was the most frightening part. And I've watched him until I guess tomorrow will be his last day, and he still is trying to go out with a bang. So I'm just still, I'm concerned. I'm still concerned that even tomorrow something crazy could happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Thank you so very much. You know what? That's the point I'm trying to make. You know, we built this great democracy. We built this great country. We built this great tower. This government of ours. This great citizenry that we have in the world today. This is a shining tower. The Capitol building is a shining tower. There's a bright light on it 24/7. We have pride for that. We have built this great democracy. We have come 200 and some odd years from George Washington to wherever we are now. You know, we've done such great things. We've been in wars. We've been this, and we've achieved this in life, and we've made this happen. And our country has grown, and we have become a power to be reckoned with in the world. And it seems as if there's nothing that we can't do. There's nothing that America can't do. There's nothing that America can't beat. But January the 6th, you saw just how frail America really is. You saw just how frail the whole concept is. Because of our own imagination and our own understanding. See, God does not condemn building cities or towers.
Right.
But he does condemn spiritual fatal thinking. Obsessively insist on humanizing him. And refusing to recognize him as the one eternal, sovereign, supreme God. And God has a plan for mankind. And anytime we try to take that plan out of order, we find ourselves in a similar situation. There's another piece to this that I wanted to just bring out just quickly. Later on, this city, this same city, that we're talking about, Babylon, Babel will become Babylon. And even though the temple of the tower had been torn down or fell down in decay, this city became a great city. Matter of fact, they took over Jerusalem during their later years. And this city has been a stumbling block. A thorn in the side of all those who wanted to follow God from the very beginning, from the time of Babel to the time of Babylon to the time of his final demise. It has always been a very turbulent time. Even when they restored the city, there was a ruler by the name of Philip of Macedonia who came, who tried to rebuild the city, who tried to rebuild the tower. He tried to, you know, get it all back together again, but earthquakes happened, and something, God intervened again, and finally the whole tower was completely destroyed. And so they built the city around this tower, and that's how Babylon became such a great power in the Middle East, because it started right there with that concept. And it has always been a city of rebellion. It has always been a city that has gone against the will of God. And show to its making, it was a city that was destroyed by God as well. So no matter how old your city is, how strong it is, how much history it has, it can be brought down. It can be brought down. And just like America, no matter how strong it is, how many cities it has, it can be brought down. It can, and by a handful of people, just a few people. And so we must understand today that we serve a mighty God, and we have to do things according to his will and according to his way. We cannot get ahead of ourselves. We cannot overstep our bounds. We cannot think ourselves so grand that everything we do is right. Y'all don't know no Christians like that, do you? Y'all don't know Christians that think that they're so saved that everything they do is all right. I'm not going to ask you that. Don't comment, because you might call the wrong name. Amen. You might call the name or two. But that's the concept. That's the concept. They have gotten so big that they thought that everything that they did was good. Does anybody else have anything they want to add? Well, I thank all
Pastor,
of you. Go ahead.
Pastor, I did want to say one small thing. As you made mention that America, I believe America will be back, maybe not to this normal, but another normal. We just have to pray for the new administration that's coming in because President Biden has a heavy, heavy charge on his life in this new administration to try to make this, as the old God said, this country, not America, but make this country great again. He's got to, first of all, he's got to get through all of this stuff that has gone on in order for him to even try to run country as he will. So we as the Christians must be praying for him and his administration daily because he's got to, just like a new pastor going into a church where everybody was has always been able to do just like they please after the old pastor left or got sick or passed. And when he goes into, or she goes into the church with their new ideas and their wanting to do something different and better for the church than everybody, all of the saints that think they got it going on or think they know everything, they want to run over top of the pastor and not allow the new ideas or the new things to come in the church. So we've got a quite a bit of a ways to go. I believe we will get there at another normal, but this man has a lot. He has an awful lot on his plate, and Congress and the floor and the Senate will be looking, all 400 plus will be watching him, trying to make him do or see if he can handle what has already been destroyed and or messed up for him. So
that's
I
right.
just wanted to add that we must every now and then call President Biden and Vice President Kamala's name because them people they have a lot on their plate. They have an awful lot on their plate. Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you so very much, First Lady. About 2 weeks, we're going to have a topical discussion about that. We're going to talk about now what do we do after this new administration has been sworn in. We're going to talk about that in about in the month of February. We'll be talking about that, about this new administration during Black History Month, and we'll be discussing those same things that you brought up tonight. Okay, thank you all so very much for being on the line tonight. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for everybody who's been on the line tonight, all those who will hear this Bible study later. We pray, God, that what we have talked about tonight will be seed sown in good soil, that long after this Bible study is over, it'll bear forth fruit. Father, keep us mindful of your presence in our lives so that we will not run ahead of you, that we will not outstep our bounds, that we try not to move ahead of you. God, give us the inclination in our hearts to know, Father, that every step that we make has to be made by you, Father. So we thank you now for this Bible study. We thank you for First Baptist of Holly Spring. Thank you for each and every person and member of that house of God. We ask now, God, that you will bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Your way, God.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all tonight. Y'all have a good night. We'll see you Sunday.
All right. Good night. To everyone else, good night. Good night.
Heard the joyful sound.
Jesus saved.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus saved.
Spread the tidings all around. Yeah.
Jesus saved. Jesus saved.
We have heard the joyful sound.
Jesus saves.
Spread the tide.
Y'all mean it.